Hello there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer with your weekly dose of golf wisdom from the Racing Post. We've got three tournaments to preview, including a magnificent Scottish Open, a great field. All the stars are in Scotland preparing for next week's Open. Really, really good field. We'll find out who Steve fancies there. Not a very good field for the Barbasol Championship, the US Tour event, but as we always say, when the quality is low, it doesn't mean there isn't a good betting opportunity. And we've got yet another seniors major. They seem to have loads. Before we do that, we'll look back on four tournaments that took place during another busy week last week. But first of all, Steve, you had to miss last week, and we're dedicating this week's sweet spot to someone very close to you, aren't we?
Yeah. My father-in-law passed away at the start of last week. You know, it was a huge shock to everyone. We're all heartbroken. He was the perfect father-in-law, you know, so kind, so welcoming, you know, always great company, always in a good mood. So the family's distraught at the moment. Yeah, sorry I had to miss last week, but yeah, more important things to deal with.
Absolutely, so sad. Okay, let's look back on last week, and we'll start with the Made in Himmerland in Denmark, where Rasmus Højgaard returned to winning form. He had to work hard, 78 holes rather than 72, because Nacho Elvira hung around in a protracted playoff. Højgaard 22-1 at the start of the week. Steve, tell us all about what would you make of Rasmus? I suppose, you know, I know you don't like talking about Ryder Cup this far away from it, although it is 2 months away. Does this get him onto the team?
I think it's a huge selection headache for Luke Donald now. He's got so many players making late bids for the team. I mean, you have to respect Rasmus Højgaard. That's four DP World Tour titles at the age of 22. Yeah, it's just an amazing achievement to rack up that many victories so quickly. I think he's absolutely top class. And I think for me, yeah, if I was European Ryder Cup captain, the urge to pair the twins, you know, the Højgaard twins, would be irresistible.
Is there room for both?
Yeah, I'd make room for both. I think that would be a fantastic partnership because, you know, remember Nikolaj Højgaard is a course winner at the Marco Simone. I'd be desperate to see both on the side. Yeah, remains to be seen whether Luke Donald shares those aspirations, you know.
Be interesting. I had to feel for Bobby McIntyre. I mean, he's working so hard to make the team, isn't he? Playing week after week. And he was in the studio after round two, doing a bit of, after he'd finished his second round, doing a bit of commentary. And came across as a really nice guy, but he gave a good illustration of just how hard he's trying to make the team. And of course, it looked like he had it in his grasp, that win, but then he had some serious hiccups on the back nine on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe a case of wanting it too much. You know, he makes no bones about it that his number one target is to make that Ryder Cup team above anything else. And it's gone wrong. He's had some injury niggles, hasn't he, this season as well. So yeah, I think that the dream of having McIntyre on the team is fading fast. But, you know, still time. You know, where are we? Middle of July. There's still time for some late bids. But, yeah, Luke Donald's got a much more difficult job for me than the American side.
Absolutely. And there's also, obviously, a Ryder Cup theme to the John Deere Classic, which was the PGA Tour event last week, where Sepp Straka, the Austrian, won for the second time in 2 years. He's one of these guys, Steve, he probably lacks the quality to consistently challenge. But as he's shown now, if he gets into contention and gets hot, he knows how to win. There was the possibility of a 59, but he blew that, parred the par 5 17th and then found drink at 18. But it was that incredible last round was enough to get the job done there. I mean, is he a potential Ryder Cupper now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I feel for Sepp Straka that he wasn't in the conversation so much because, tell me what his world ranking is, Bruce. Tell me what his world ranking is.
Blimey, 44?
Well, there you go. That just goes to show the lack of respect he's been getting. He's world number 27.
Is he really? Wow.
There are only six Europeans higher than Straka in the world rankings.
You could argue, Steve, that the world rankings should be the sole arbiter of who plays and who doesn't.
You could argue that, and I think you certainly should argue that Straka deserves great respect. He's been playing well lately. He was seventh in the USPGA not long ago. I think Straka's probably more likely than Højgaard to get on the team. With Straka, it's almost like having an American on the team, though. You know, he's grown up in America. He's born in Austria, grown up in America. They were sort of nibbling at him a little bit in the media conference after his win about this. You know, does he feel European or American. He just said, I feel 100% Austrian. So
what sort of accent does he have? But more American or more Austrian?
He sounds just like an Austrian who's lived in America for most of his life. Yeah. Right. So I got someone on my tongue. That's a tough question. I think he's going to make the team. But yeah, you're right. I sound like when Wayne Riley and all that, they start predicting who's going to win the majors, and they predict about 25 players to win the majors in the year to come. Obviously, we'll get to a stage where we run out of places on this team. But yeah, I think Stracker, and yeah, I'd have Stracker on it. I'd have Rasmus Højgaard on it. I'd have Nikolai Højgaard on it. You better stop me before I run out of players.
I know, yeah. Blimey. Okay, well, before we look further at the Ryder Cup, let's look at the LIV Golf London, where Cam Smith came back to form. High-quality leaderboard all week, wasn't it, Steve? And Smith's backers, Smith's loyalists got the job done in the end.
Yeah, he'd been creeping back to his best. I guess there were plenty of loyalists out there. 9-1, I think he was available. Yeah, he's obviously going into his open title defence now with his tail up. Do you remember he admitted at this earlier in the year that he's got a bit lazy. LIV Golf had made him a bit lazy.
He was lazy with that sort of money.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, we understood it. It was good honesty from him, but yeah, we completely understand why he got a bit lazy. But he's knuckling down again now. He says his putting is back to the level. Yeah, obviously he's probably the best putter in the world at his best, and he says he's got that level back. He's just concerned about his driving. His driving was still a bit loose last week, even though he won. But yeah, I think Smith is a massive runner for the opening. I think there'll be plenty of people putting him on their shortlist.
We will obviously discuss the opening in far greater detail next Tuesday, Steve. But just a quick one, because we're talking about Cam Smith there. Is Hoylake the sort of links course where you can get away with a few wayward drives, or is it brutal, punishing rough?
Well, he's going to play firm and fast, I guess. I don't know. I have to get my my focus on the weather, because the weather has a big effect on that track. Yeah, I've been there when it's been bone dry and they've had to hit irons off the tee, and it's really difficult to control your ball. But our English summer is so erratic, isn't it? I think we really need to focus on that more than anything, because if it gets a drenching, then it'll play very differently. But Smith's never played there before. I know that much. I saw his media conference after LIV, and he admitted he'd never been there. And he's going over now just to chill out in England for a bit, and then he's going to go and practice Hoylake. So sure. massive runner. But we'll turn our minds to that one next week.
You LIV week to week, Steve, don't you?
I certainly do. Yeah, okay, absolutely. Mate.
And finally, it was the US Women's Open at lovely Pebble Beach, and Alison Korpaz won it. The only interesting thing I found out in researching that was that she went to the same school as Barack Obama in a native Hawaii. She wasn't in the same year, but Obama sent her a message there, so that was good. Any takeouts from the US Women's Open?
No, I noticed that. It's not often you get Barack Obama piping up about a golf tournament, is it? But both Hawaiians. I think the bookmaking community be equally thrilled as Obama, because I don't know how you could have tipped Alison Korpaz. She'd never even won on the LPGA Tour, had she? I was out of the game completely last week. I came back thinking, would the each way quad have been available? It certainly wasn't available to any sane person last week.
Stracker was 50s, Rasmus Højgaard 22, Cam Smith 9 or 10 to 1. Okay, should we look ahead?
Yes.
Righto, we'll start with the Genesis Scottish Open, which takes place at Renaissance, isn't it, Steve? It's one of those sort of new links, if you know what I mean, in just on that bit of Scotland that juts out east of Edinburgh. So it's going to be weather dependent. We'll find out all about the conditions and the course in a moment. But here are some indicative prices. Scotty Scheffler, 7-1 favourite. Rory McIlroy, 17-2. Yes, the stars are out. Xander Schauffele, 14. Patrick Cantlay, 14. Ricky Fowler, 16. Victor Hovland, 18. Tyrrell Hatton, 20. Jordan Spieth is 22. So is Matt Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood. 28-1 Shane Lowry, and 33-1 Bar. So, Steve, what a fantastic field that is gathering here. Tell us all about the venue.
Yes, the Renaissance Club, East Lothian, Scotland, 7,237 yards, par 70, only 3 par 5s. It opened in 2008, made its Scottish Open debut in 2019, and is hosted every year since then. As you say, not a pure links test. We do have some trees around this place. the undulating greens are the course's main defense. Loads of contours in those greens, and as you say, the weather is so important. We've got three windy days in the forecast this week, so yeah, it's not going to be a complete doddle. 156 runners going to post.
I'm due to be going to T20 finals day at Edgbaston on Saturday, but the forecast's terrible.
So. Oh my God, what do they do if it's raining? They just
You're just gonna have to stand. I can't be doing with that, just standing around forever waiting for cricket to be played.
Why can't they play in the rain?
Why just play in the rain?
Interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't get why you can't. I really don't. I'm sure that some cricket purist will tell us why, but yeah,
I guess you get a lot of edges. It could be a very quick match because it would edge off the bat, wouldn't it? And lots of caught behinds from slippery bats. But you could take a towel out there, give it a good seeing to.
Same for both teams, yeah. Okay, how many selections have we got for the Scottish Open?
We have six selections, but loads of juicy prices.
Oh, lovely. We haven't had six for ages, have we?
No, we haven't. We haven't.
Okay, plough on. Who do you like the most?
Minwoo Lee, 33-1. Minwoo Lee, the 2021 Scottish Open champion at the Renaissance. He's course proven and he's a fantastic player in windy conditions. I mentioned those three windy days we're going to get. He's got all the shots for excelling in a breeze and he's playing superbly. He was 18th in the USPGA, was 5th in the US Open. He was 9th in the Travelers Championship. We swerved him for the British Masters. Remember, I shocked you by swerving him for the
British
Masters.
You did, yeah.
We thought he'd make a sluggish start, maybe a bit jet-lagged, and so it proved. The first couple of days, he was a bit sluggish, but he was brilliant over the weekend, charged up the leaderboard, finished 15th. So, yeah, you know my feelings about Minwoo Lee. I think he's potential world number one. I fully expect him to contend in this field.
There was a nice picture of him eating some haggis on Twitter. Did you see that?
I saw he'd made himself a tray of haggis, and he was actually in the Ashes last week, wasn't he?
He
went to the cricket with his mate Daniel Hillier. You know Daniel Hillier,
who won the week before.
They're good friends, and they went to watch a bit of the cricket. So
who's his other good friend? Lucas Herbert, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's a popular chap, isn't he?
Yeah, all the Australasians stick together, don't they?
Excellent. Okay, so Minwoo Lee at 33-1 is Steve's main fancy for the Scottish Open. Who's the big danger?
The aforementioned Lucas Herbert.
Wow.
Who's being backed, and he's 60-1, I think, is the best we can get at the moment. I think we're going to get an Aussie 1-2 this week. You know, he relishes windy conditions as well. And he's already shown huge affection for the Renaissance. He finished 4th in the 2020 Scottish Open there. He finished 4th again in 2021. You know, this is an ideal setup for him. Yeah, short game, very important this week. You know, around these large contoured greens, you know, Minwoo and Herbert, magicians around the greens. And Herbert's got loads of bottle. You know, he's already won three times on the DP World Tour and once on the PGA Tour, a very windy edition of the Bermuda Championship. His most recent DP World Tour win came in Japan in April and 15th place in the Travelers Championship last time out. Yeah, it's a timely return to form. I think he's a huge runner. You know, there's loads of each way turns this week as well. And, you know, I'm going to get to my bigger price ones now. Yeah, you know, get all your 10 places and fill your boots.
But as I always say, if you see 10 places or even bigger, watch out for the fraction because some of them are a seventh and even the eighth. So, you know, just don't fall into that trap. Don't get... I almost had a catchphrase for it, didn't I? Dazzled by the number, but not the fraction.
That was it. Don't fall into any traps would be good advice, wouldn't it?
It would. Absolutely, it would. I see your mate Ludvig Åberg is playing in Scotland this week. He went close again last week, didn't he?
Amazing. You'd
have kicked yourself if he won, wouldn't you?
That's another one we can get on this Ryder Cup team of 500 players that we've got. Yeah, yeah. Ludvig
Åberg. Blimey. Okay, right. Who's the third tip?
It's Thorbjørn Olesen, who is on offer at 160-1, I believe. And I cannot believe my eyes. A 7-time DP World Tour champion. The 2015 Dunhill Links Championship winner in Scotland. Similar test to this, obviously. He's got the game to thrive at the Renaissance. And he's been in great nick this year. He won the Thailand Classic. 7 top 20s. In his last 11 tournaments, he was 15th at the Belfry in his title defence the week before last. I just think the bookies have massively overreacted to a miscut last week. He missed the cut by a shot in the Himalayan. Who gives a monkeys? Yeah, this is a proven champion going off at a massive price.
Okay. I'm remembering to have to revive my nodding again, because I asked James, who stood in so manfully for you last week, and he wasn't remotely bothered.
He didn't care. I'm just a weaker character than James.
No, not at all. Some people need that, you know.
Yeah, I need to be cajoled.
Feeding off my nodding. Okay. So it sounds like you're shunning all the fancy contenders. We will talk about them in a bit, but it sounds like how many have we got? Three more. Go on then, who's number four?
I'm going to throw another Dane at you, and I'm going to throw another Dane who missed the cut by a shot in his homeland last week, and it's Nikolai Hogar, the aforementioned, 100-1 against his name. You know, he's surely going to be inspired by his brother's heroics. Do you remember what happened the last time Rasmus Hogar won a golf tournament?
No, I would imagine Nikolai won the next week.
Absolutely. The first brothers in history to win back-to-back events. It was the 2021 European Masters, and then Nikolai won the Italian Open the following week. I can see history repeating itself here. You know, Nikolai is absolutely world-class. I talk about Minwu Lee being a potential world number one. I feel the same about Nikolai Hogard. I think there's so much more to come. He played on the PGA Tour the week before the Himmerland. He played in the Rocket Mortgage Classic and finished 21st. So, you know, he had excuses for making a sluggish start last week, and so it proved. But, yeah, 100-1 Nikolai Hogar is just a ridiculous price. I mean, you know, the bookmakers are giving so much respect to the top of the market this week. And, you know, you're talking about players with two eyes on next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, so we've got two more. Are these equally exotic?
More so.
Oh, wow. Give me a clue as to this one.
Scottish.
Okay.
Scottish. Yeah, that's a
Richie
that's
a Ramsey.
No, it's not Richie Ramsey.
Ewan Ferguson. What's wrong with that?
No, I always think of Alan Partridge, dead radio time when those sort of things happen. Yeah. I love a bit of Partridge.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, go on then. I give up.
Thank you for giving up. It's Grant Forrest, who's 400-1. So you would have had to go limit. You would have had to have gone a long way down. Yeah, he lives in East Lothian. He actually lives in East Lothian. He's the touring professional for the Renaissance. This is his practice base. So bursting with course knowledge. He qualified for the Open there in 2017. They had a final qualifier at the Renaissance in 2017. He finished second in that. So his course credentials are impeccable. He's definitely good enough to get on this leaderboard. He's already won a DP World Tour event in Scotland on a links track. You probably don't remember this one. It was the Hero Open in 2021 at Fairmont St Andrews. It's sort of a new event they threw in onto the calendar. He was 10th in the Dunhill Links Championship last year, and he's having a really solid campaign this year. He was 10th in Abu Dhabi, 6th in Singapore, 4th in Japan, 8th in the KLM Open. You know, I expect him to be there or thereabouts. I don't see how a better, you know, I anyone who says to me Grant Forrest 400-1 each way bet is not good value is just wrong. I'm not even going to listen.
I don't think anyone's going to say that to you in the course of the next couple of days. But
if anyone says it to me, I say you are wrong.
Yeah, maybe when you're picking the kids up from school, one of the dads will come up and jab his finger in your chest. Anyone who says that, but okay, but if they do, they're wrong. Yeah.
Even if he misses the cut by 10 shots, it's still the result doesn't matter. It's a value bet of 400.
Yeah. Okay, and we've got one more. Goodness knows who this will be.
This is Matthew Jordan, you know, a regular sweet spot. We've been following him for a long time. He's 200.
We call them sweet spotters, can't we?
Sweet spotters, yeah. He's definitely a sweet spotter, and he's 200-1 this week, and he relishes links golf. You know, he was awesome as an amateur on links terrain. He won the St Andrews Links Trophy. He won the Lytham Trophy by 9 shots. He lives in Hoylake, Bruce. He's been a Royal Liverpool member from the age of 7. So he was desperate to get into the Open Championship.
Well, he'll have three eyes on next week, won't he?
Well, no.
Or is he not qualified?
He didn't know he had qualified until last week when he produced a heroic display in a final qualifier. He went to a final qualifier at West Lancashire Golf Club. He was partnered with Sergio Garcia. Like he could be
goodness
you
know, me.
He couldn't have been under more pressure. He desperately wanted to be part of the Hoylake Open, and he's got he's got a legend alongside him. He produced rounds of 65 and 69, so he finished second in the qualifier. Amazing effort, and it just shows what good form he's in. You know, this is a links master in rock solid form. He's had 6 top 20s this year. He closed with a 65 for 17th place in Denmark last week. Yeah, Matty Jordan, you know, never mind. he certainly won't have two eyes on next week. You know, if there's a you know, chance of a DP World Tour breakthrough on Sunday, biggest check of his life. You know, he's just riding the crest of a wave, Bruce.
Okay. Right then, tell me about why you've shunned all these massive names. I mean, you've got people like Wyndham Clark, the US Open champ, going off at 40s, Sun James 50s, Corey Connors is 50. So, you know, there's massive depth to this field, isn't there? Historically, or in the recent history of this event, when all the stars have been using it as prep, has it been the case that they've tended to kind of just, you know, get their eye in for the week after, or have they dominated? You know, tell us what the clue is here, because you're ignoring some very, very big names, aren't you?
Well, there's a mixture. There's so many people in this bracket that there's been a mixture of results. I mean, obviously Xander Schauffele won it last year, but, you know, Scottie Scheffler, for example, missed the cut. I just think, you know, you talk about two eyes. I think a lot of them will have five eyes on next week. And you've got to factor in the forecast. You know, there's a huge amount of breeze in the forecast. You know, you get a dodgy set of tee times. You don't want to be playing at short prices, do you? So I like the fact that I got nothing shorter than 33-1. That the top of the market makes no appeal to me. Rory McIlroy, you know, said the first time he came to the Renaissance that he hates the course and it's terrible preparation for an Open, so it's too easy. Why is he there? I don't understand. Wow. He must feel some sort of obligation to play in this. Obviously, there's been a lot of politics this year, isn't there? I couldn't find anyone that makes any appeal at the top of the market. You know, and Minwoo Lee, he will be in the top of the market in elite fields like this very soon, in my opinion.
Good. Okay, mate. Right, should we move on?
Yes. We've got two more golf tournaments, haven't we?
So from the magnificent field that is assembling for the Scottish Open to the fairly moderate field that's assembling for the Barbasol Championship. I mean, Lucas Glover's second favourite. No, he's joint favourite, for Pete's sake. Here's the latest state of the market. Taylor Pendrith and Lucas Glover, 18-1. Vincent Norman, 22-1. Peter Quest, 25-1. Akshay Bhatia is 25, Kevin Streelman 28, Grayson Murray 33, Troy Merritt 33, the Greyhounds in there, Cameron Champ 40-1. It's not exactly star-studded this, Steve, but as we always say, that doesn't mean there isn't a great value bet lurking. Before we get Steve's selections, where is the Barbasol Championship taking place and what kind of test does it provide?
It's the Champions Course at Keene Trace Golf Club, Nicholasville, Kentucky, 7,328 yards, par 72, four par fives. It's staged this event since 2018, and there was no event in 2020. It's just ridiculously easy, you know, wide fairways, large greens. Every Barbasol at Keene Trace has been won by a score of 20-something under par. And the weather's good as well. Yeah, warm, humid, calm. So, a birdie fest for the field of 156.
Okay. You've got three tips. Who do you like the most?
Vincent Norman. I loved your pronunciation of Vincent Norman.
The double R.
I think it's a great bet. He's a player who I got extremely excited about when he first came onto the scene on the DP World Tour. You might remember in 2021, the summer of 2021, he made his pro debut in the BMW. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's left a mark on me. I mean,
okay.
He finished fifth on his pro debut in the BMW International that year. He got an albatross. This might jog your memory. He got an albatross hole in one on the par.
Did he really?
He got a one on a par four, and on his pro debut, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, wow. What have you got here? You know, this is a potential world beater on our hands here. But unfortunately, he didn't hang around on the DP World Tour. There was no sort of serving your apprenticeship. He just thought, right, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. And he went and got onto the Korn Ferry Tour for 2022, played really well on the Korn Ferry Tour, got promoted immediately. So this season, PGA Tour rookie, and he's nicely settled in now. He was 21st in Puerto Rico, 16th in the Corrales Punta Cana, 18th in Mexico, 8th in the Byron Nelson, and then last time out, 24th in the Rocket Mortgage.
That's a decent body of work, isn't it, in the context of this field?
you make a very good point. And he closed with a 65 in the Rocket Mortgage. So I think he's an improver. He's a 25-year-old improver with great potential. I think he's going to win his maiden PGA Tour title on Sunday.
Lovely stuff. The main danger is...
it's Taylor Pendrith. I think 18-1 is fair. Yeah, I think he deserves favouritism. You know, this is a course that can be destroyed by long drivers. All three of my selections for this are powerhouses who are going to murder the par fives. Pendrith finished 13th on his Barbasol debut last year. He improved in every round. On the Sunday, only one player outscored Pendrith. I think he's certain to contend. He found some form last time out. He finished 14th in the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So yeah, I see Norman, as you like to call him. How did you do it again? Norman. Yeah, you sound like some of my sort of West Country mates.
Yeah, that's right. I do.
Norman versus Pendrith is how I see this tournament.
Yeah, a bit of Gareth Keenan in there. Yeah. Okay, and Pendrith, did he play in the President's Cup last
year? Yeah, he's a President's Cupper. Yeah. He's a President's Cupper. He's the second highest ranked player in this field. You mentioned Lucas Glover. Lucas Glover's world number 112, Pendrith 113.
Crumbs. Blimey, it's pretty low because we haven't got any of the world's top 112 in it.
111.
Amazing. Okay, who's the final tip, Steve?
It's the Greyhound.
Cameron Champ
is on offer at 40-1. It's a massive fish in a tiny pond this week, isn't it? Yeah, I think we could see some animal rights campaigners attend this event because it's just cruel to have a fish the size of Cameron Champ housed in a pond as tiny as this. this is a three-time PGA Tour champion. Yeah, gifted player. I've said this a lot on this podcast that I think he's a potential world number one. I think Minwoo Lee is. I think Nicolai Hoggar is. I think Cameron Champ is. He's had some injury problems.
Do you really still think?
I still think he's capable if he can get himself fit. I mean, he has constant back trouble because his club head speed is about a million miles an hour, and he must do some damage to his back. I mean, if he can get fully fit, he's got so much potential. He's a jaw-droppingly good driver, isn't he? And he's only playing in the Barbasol because he's having such a bad year. I think he could fall in love with the course. And he closed with an encouraging round in the John Deere last week. Closed with a 66. So at 40-1 in this rabble. I have to be on the Greyhound, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean. If you look down the bottom, there's some right old names from the past, isn't there?
Oh, any
Ricard
old...
S. Johnson and Omar Oresti and
any old Tom, Dick and Harry can get in this. Surprised you didn't get an invite.
Well, yeah. I'm not playing badly, actually, at the moment.
You'd like this course because it's...
I would. We've been to Kentucky, haven't we? We went to Kentucky for the
Ryder
Cup all those years ago, didn't we?
That does seem like several years ago.
Because it was. It damn well was. Okay, shall we move on now to the Cowlick Companies Championship?
Yeah.
So what a
snazzy name for a major championship. I mean, I was thinking about this morning. I mean, is this what it's going to come to now? Like a major championship with a name like that. You know, are we going to get is the Masters one day going to be the Masters in association with Dick's Sporting Goods?
Never, ever, that one.
I don't think any major should have a name like this. But yeah, don't get
What did it used to be called?
It used to be the Senior Players Championship.
Oh, right, I see. It's the senior's fifth major that's actually a major, yeah?
Yeah, it's the Senior Players Championship, and then Cawley Companies have obviously come in with a bit of dollar, and then they're
have you looked into Cawley Companies?
I didn't, out of principle, I didn't. I mean,
you're horrified, are you, basically?
I just think majors should have a more respectable names than this. Call me old-fashioned, but I might even deliberately miss-say their name. Call them Kellogg's, the cereal, the breakfast cereals.
Let's see. I've got their website. It's About Us.
Oh, yeah.
We're a single member family office for Matt Cawley and his direct family. Over the last two decades, I'm bored reading it. Don't care. All I care about is who's going to win it. Here are the leading contenders as far as the market's concerned. No surprise that Steve Stricker is the strong favourite. He's 5-2. Stuart Sink is 6s, Stephen Orker 17-2, Jerry Kelly 9-1, Ernie Els 16, Miguel Angel Jimenez is 16, Stephen Ames 22, Bernhard Langer 22, obviously brilliant win recently, Alex Checker and DT are 28, and Darren Clark is 33. 40 bars, some lovely old names in there. Where is this taking place, Steve?
Well, while I tell you all that, why don't you have another check of that? Because a thought just popped into my head. What if this is some like amazing charity does amazing
work? Oh, yeah,
work?
Okay, yeah.
That would, I would feel very bad about what you just
actually,
said.
Yeah.
So you check that, and then I'll tell you all about the course. It's a course we all know very well. Firestone South, Akron, Ohio. 7,248 yards, par 70. You must remember Firestone from the WGC Bridgestone Invitational.
Yeah.
That was
is it
played
high
on...
altitude. Have I got that wrong?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Oh,
but we were playing there on the PGA Tour until 2018, and then from 2019 onwards, we've had this as the home of the Senior Players Championship, which I'm going to continue calling it, unless Corleague is some sort of amazing charity. It's a long parkland track, tree lined fairways. You have to be a fantastic ball striker to succeed around here.
I'm so glad you asked me to delve into it. I've looked on the section marked philanthropy, and they support the well-being of children and families and develop partnerships with like-minded non-profits in Northeast Ohio. They give in all sorts of ways. They've got a foundation. It's got something called Samantha's Gift of Hope. So, yeah, we take it all back.
Oh, my
great
God.
Company. Good old Cowlick company.
Yeah,
so
I do apologize.
I hope they have a great week.
Yeah, I feel terrible. I mean, I'm having a terrible July, and that's just added to it, I feel.
No, don't worry, mate. Honestly, don't worry. You had that compassionate thought, and that helped us to turn
Yeah, that saved us, didn't it? Yeah. Cowlick companies. Yeah, long live Cowlick companies. Let's hope they have a great week. We got hot, humid, and calm weather for this tournament, so thank goodness for that.
How many tips?
I just mentioned the field.
I'm sorry.
The field size, you always demand it these days, don't you? And this is one of the very few occasions where it's interesting. There's only 78 runners.
Oh, come off it. You don't like doing the field size?
No, I like doing the field size, but I normally say 156, don't I?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, do you want to change the policy so that it's not 156?
No, I don't want to change anything.
Let us know in the comments section. Do you like Steve telling us how many runners there are?
There are 78 with no cut. So that's fascinating. So if you have a bet on this, you're going to have a runner on Sunday. So that's something, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, these tournaments of recent history, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it just feels like the ones at the front of the betting seem to dominate, and particularly Steve Stricker. So how many tips have you got?
Just one.
And who is that?
That is Stuart Sink, who is 13 to 2. I think Stuart Sink could start pooping all over Steve Stricker's party. And you mentioned Steve Stricker, he's 5-2 favourite. I think Steve Stricker would be a little bit worried about the new kid on the block here. You know, Stuart Sink only turned 50 at the end of May. So he only became, you know, he could only play in these events from the end of May. He's played in one of them so far. He finished third on his Champions Tour debut in the Senior PGA Championship. It was only a couple of years ago that he was winning on the PGA Tour. You know, do you remember that RBC Heritage when he had his kid on the bag?
Of course I do.
Yeah, won by half the track, you know. So 2 years ago, he's winning on the PGA Tour.
It's incredible, that, wasn't it? Because we kept expecting him to come back to the field, and he just never did he?
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful moment. And, yeah, he's still good enough to compete on the PGA Tour. Yeah, he actually carded a second round 64 in the Travelers Championship in his last PGA Tour event. And he's teeing up this week at a venue that where he's beaten the best of the best. You know, let's just dig into the history books here. In the 2004 WGC NEC Invitational at Firestone, Sink repelled none other than a Mr. Tiger Woods to win that. So he's won at Firestone in a WGC with Tiger Woods breathing down his neck. 2 years after that, he pushed Tiger all the way again. You know, Tiger used to be the king of Firestone. They had a four-hole playoff in 2006, which Woods eventually won. So, you know, Sink knows he's a serious Firestone performer. He's got nothing to fear in this lineup. I think it's a really solid each-way bet. You know, as you say, like the cream rises to the top on this circuit. Podrick Arrington's playing Scottish Open. So don't worry about Pod. You know, I think Sink, you know, former world number five, remember, former Open champion. You know, I think, as I say, I think Stricker's got some problems now.
Oh, blimey. Okay. So that's it. There's just the one tip this week for that tournament, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Stricker's 5-2. I mean, there'll be plenty of Stricker backers out there. Scott Wheeler's our big commenter, who's a big fan of Steve Stricker, and he backs Steve Stricker for every event. And he's been cleaning up. I'm sure he'll be going in again. I mean, his Firestone form figures in this event are 6.23.12. So he's finished first and second the last 2 years on this course. Yeah, Stricker's obviously a huge runner, but I think Sink's better value.
Nice one. Okay, Steve, let's reiterate the tips. Scottish Open.
Minwoo Lee, Lucas Herbert, Thorbjørn Olesen, Nikolai Hoggar, Grant Forrest, Matthew Jordan.
The Barbasol Championship.
Vincent Norman, Taylor Pendrith, Cameron Champ.
And the magnificently sponsored Corlig Companies Championship.
Stuart Sink.
Okay, Steve, many thanks for that. Thank you, as ever, to our lovely producer, Will Carey. Most of all, though, thank you for watching The Sweet Spot. Don't forget to let us know who you fancy this week in the comments section. And, of course, we'd love you to join us next Tuesday for a Sweet Spot special. It's the Open Championship.